You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg. And he, of course, is joined by David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in the salubrious surroundings of Melrose Arch. David, why is Lesetja Kanyago so conservative? I mean, I like the fact that he's stable, but with inflation below 4.5%, in other words, the midpoint of the 3-6% band, and unemployment at stupidly high levels and growth at stupidly low levels, surely just have a look at Jerome Powell and say, let's cut the rates here, maybe 50, even 75 basis points.
I think he needs a Donald Trump to send him a couple of tweets. Just to keep him going, to bring it down. I think I agree with you. I think there is margin. The fact they might be very, very nervous of inflation, and you can't quite read it because everything seems to be anchored around that 4.5% level. There might be a slight move to the upside, a slight move to the downside, but no one's forecasting any major move around that. And I can't see, he mentions that demand is pretty thin. So I'm not quite sure why he doesn't want to take the risk and perhaps lower rates. I don't know what the consequence of that would be. I think what worries me and what worries us all, and this is why I agree with you, is that he once more downgraded our growth rate, not this year. I mean, this year it's pretty awful at 0.6%, and he gave a lot of warnings about the local economy. But next year as well, he's downgraded it, I think, to 1.5% from 1.8, and then in 2021 to 1.8 from 2. So, I, on the strength of that, I must say that little disappointed that there's, that we're not bringing rates down.
I agree. I agree with you entirely. What about you, Nick? Do you think he's being conservative and that is appropriate, or do you think he should just be a little bit more gung ho and get this blasted economy going?
It is a bit of a head scratch. We had a lot of bets to going around the office, and the majority of people thought that even though the consensus was for unchanged, that he would in fact use this little window period to get a bit of a cut. I mean, everything for me was almost like everything fell into place. You had all the central banks that really matter, the ECB, the Fed, all cutting rates in the last 7 days. You had our inflation is nowhere to be seen. And I thought, ahead of the sort of midterm budget at the end of October, everything sort of fell into place, and all the inflation, even retail sales were a little bit light this week.
Yes.
And it was just he could have actually got away with cutting rates. He would have pleased the ruling party. He might have even got a pat on the head from Moody's saying, well, he's trying to do something to stimulate growth. And he didn't, and it just at least he's consistently hawkish anyway. But maybe
the problem is that if you read through his statement, and what the market's saying is that it looks like this is it. There's nothing on the cards in the near term, or certainly even in the medium term.
And unanimous, the Fed was a dissent, and no one knows where it's going, and no one knows what to do. I mean, we had unanimous rates on hold. I thought there'd be one or two that maybe leaned more towards the rate cut, but not. And as you said, David, it doesn't look like anything's on the cards.
And that's why retailers came under a bit of pressure. And I think if you look at most of the consumer stocks, amongst other things, all trading down in the region of 1.5 to 2.5%. So I think a disappointment being shown there. But, I'm an accountant, and I always say that because I never understand, monetary policy. I just look at it, and I think we all share the same sentiments. Hold on a sec. There's no growth here. Just give the economy a bit of a kick,
And as I said, I think he actually wouldn't have gone down too badly across all parties.
You
could have got away with it and come out quite well.
What would your reaction be?
The rand is almost a rand. Stronger from the lows. You can't even blame the weakness in the rand.
This is the whole point about the rand. Obviously, they're custodians of the rand as well as custodians of monetary policy. So what would happen? My opinion is that if you cut interest rates in a country, it means that you want to spur on growth, and therefore investors look at the country and say, right, well, this is a progressive move. So in fact, money, after an initial sell-off, money comes into the country and the rand strengthens. Whereas if you raise rates, like they've done in Turkey, that's done nothing. That's that's done nothing for the Turkish economy whatsoever, or the Turkish lira, rather. I'm almost contrarian when it comes to interest rates and the rand and what it does to it. I think cutting rates by 1%, I think the rand would actually ultimately strengthen.
I think globally as well, there's no inflationary pressures. You know, in other words, there's nothing, there's no imported inflation other than what's going to happen, you know, that will be affected by the rand. We're not seeing prices of any major commodity. Forget about oil. Oil will settle down. You know, no one sees oil running away again. I think we've got maybe a week or two of higher oil prices, but as soon as Saudi Arabia comes back on or production comes back on, it'll settle down. No one's forecasting $90 oil prices or even $80 or anything close to that. So I don't think there's anything that's going to be important. So I, you know, reflecting just armchair type reflection, I have to agree with what we're talking about here. It seems a little odd, but anyway.
Yeah, and oil is, as you said, I mean, it's 40-50% of our inflation comes from oil. And in the last few days, I mean, oil is off back to it, you know, 10-11% from its highs. And in fact, oil, before we had this little spark on over the weekend or Monday when the markets opened, I mean, oil was on the lows of the year. It's really not expensive at all. And I can't see that if it comes back on stream, I can't see any potential pushback in oil.
Let's have a look at a set of results that came out just after the market closed. The company's name is Remgro. I've got to speak to Yanni Durant, the CEO, at 6 o'clock. I don't know what to say to him, really. Headline earnings per share down 4.2%. Earnings per share down 18%. NAV per share was 233 rand and 3 cents. Ordinary dividend per share up 6%, which is one thing. But these just look quite boring. David, you're probably more of a Remgro man than Nick.
Well, I used to be. I've never been a Remgro man. I used to be in the old days when they had companies that we couldn't get, like British American Tobacco, or we couldn't get Richemont. So I'm going back quite a long time. Subsequent to the unbundling of those companies and a lot of other stuff, it's really nothing more than First Rand and MediClinic. I think that makes up the bulk of the business.
Yeah, I think RCL, tiny little bit there too. But I mean, you're right.
So I think RCL, yeah. So you could put some of that in, but I think, to be honest, I don't think there's anything to get excited about. And whatever the discount to the underlying, I think that's always going to be there. They're not going to close it until such time as they unbundle it. And they're not doing anything. I don't want to take away from them, but they're not doing anything that's getting the market excited. You know, so it just becomes another proxy for First Rand. And the others we mentioned.
Yeah, and you could probably put that portfolio together yourself without too much trouble.
Yeah.
I hesitate to say without paying a management fee too.
Yeah, exactly. But they must have private equity investments as well, non-listed entities, haven't they, David? Nick?
No, they did. They've got. I think if you go through there, you'll find a number of them. I think like Wispico and Unilever's. I don't know if they still got them, but they don't add up to much. In other words,
you're right. They got like Unilever, and I think they've got something. Is it Air Products or something
be,
like that?
Yeah, so it could be quite a few that use.
Yeah, but
to be
it's, but it doesn't even move the needle. It's so small than ours.
Okay, let's have a look at this company now, because this is something we spoke about. Well, I spoke to a chap called John Bickard from Investec Asset Management the other day, who's obviously very well known for his love of platinum and has done incredibly well with Impala, for example. But at the end of the interview, I said, what else have you got? And he said, well, I like Caxton. And we're building a position in Caxton. And Caxton came out with their numbers today. The share price rallying, goodness me, over 8%. It's quite an interesting play, this one. I think he was talking about how much cash they've got and how much. Anyway, he came up with arguments that I couldn't quite understand at the time.
To be honest, I think that John, I don't know what the value of John's fund is. Maybe it's worth 500 million or something.
Yes.
I don't know. Caxton is about 2.5 billion. Sorry, 500. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, 2.5 billion market cap.
Right.
So there's not much he can do. You know, I mean, I hardly think he can buy the whole company.
No.
So, that's what I'm saying. It's a very, very small business. It's been around for a long time. It's mainly in the printing side, and it also distributes those knock and drops, a lot of knock and drops. And maybe I'm going back a little far. I don't know what they've been doing in the last few years. But, there might be traditional value in it. But, 2.5 billion, you can't really get your teeth into this.
And if memory serves me correctly, I think it's Mr. Moorman and his Terry Moorman. Yeah, and I think they've got quite a sort of generous quarter staff incentive scheme or something of the like. But I mean, it's only about, I think, 50% free float. I think 45% is owned by staff and management and Mr. Moorman and his team. So I mean, really, it's you're right. It's difficult to get your head around something like this with such a small free float too.
Mm. Let's have a look at Blue Label again, David. You know this one very, very well indeed. It's been all over the place recently. They've come out with an updated trading statement for the year ended 31st of May, and also they've said, yes, we will put our results out by the 30th of September. Yeah. Otherwise, they're going to be suspended.
You know what? Reading their results is like having a kid comes home with a report card that's just appalling. You know, failed. And to be honest, these are two smart young chaps. I mean, with an entrepreneurial flair, with a very good flair for trading, who should never have gone into this deal. Celsea was a failing business, and it needed a lot of love and an enormous amount of money. It needed a balance sheet like Buffett's to try and help it. And this is the kind of stock he wouldn't have gone into. But they put $5 billion of money that they had to raise, which was very difficult, in the hope that they're going to turn around a mobile operator that really had not done anything. And this is the result. We haven't seen the balance sheet. When we see the balance sheet, we'll see whether we can look into Celsea and see whether it's really still trading. I don't want to say profitably, whether it's not insolvent or not, whether it's sort of trading concern. You know, this is not they don't control it, or effectively, I think they do control it, but they've only got a 45% stake. So if it does go, it doesn't mean that they go. But, I mean, when the amount of money that they've had to write off on their operations, just appalling. And, we see it in their core headline earnings, which were 120 a year ago, which are now minus 300. So there's
a shocker. Absolute shocker. I mean, this was just adding on to David's saying. I mean, this was, you know, as you said, they do own 45% of it, but they now own 45% of nothing. I mean, they've written nothing down to zero. Their market cap, I think, of Blue Label now with a share price under $3 is, I don't know, what is it, $2.5 billion. I mean, they've written off almost double their market cap on this investment. I mean, it really. You know, you almost think like the intentions maybe were, if you have to give them benefit of the doubt, the intentions are probably good back in the day. But this was just an elephant that was too big to eat. It was just too enormous. And the original owners, who, in all intents and purposes, had probably a much larger open checkbook, couldn't make this thing work. I failed to see how they're going to turn this around. It really is a problem.
Mr. Price came out with an update of its trading statement, which came out on the 12th of September, so that was a week ago. What happened there, Nick? Stay with you on this one.
Sorry, say that again?
Mr. Price, they came out with an updated trading statement. The potential financial exposure is in the 10 to 20 million rand range regarding an internal investigation. What is that? Does anyone know what this is? I've missed this one.
it was so brief, Lindsay. I was actually I was looking at a couple of headlines to put on so the evening note to send out. And, I mean, it wasn't even worth the line item. It was apparently two senior managers and one of his suppliers are looking at some probe into it. And they said, should this, typical corporate speak, should this exposure materialize, they will enforce their contractual rights against the supplier. They said in a statement they want to demand the higher standards, blah, blah, blah. But, 10 to 20 million rand is, I mean, it's like petty cash for Mr. Price.
Yes, it is. It's a couple of jumpers in a couple of shops that have, exactly. Let's have a look now then at the spot prices, if I can, because obviously we had a decision from the United States last night. We've spoken about that. Interest rates falling there by 25 basis points. Mr. Trump, he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. But the interesting thing about that, David, is that there was a split decision. And so there were people, some people wanted a bigger cut, some people wanted no cut, some people wanted even a rise in interest rates. And what surprised me was that Jerome Powell said the economic conditions in the United States of America are favorable, and yet they still cut rates. That smacks of political influence.
Of course. And I think also OECD came out with their forecasts on the global economy. They're slightly lower than the IMF. You know, they're at 2.9% this year, and they've downgraded global economies. What we can't ignore, looking at China, looking at Japan, wherever we go, is that there's a global economy that's dragged down by uncertainty. And Jerome Powell has to be aware of this. While the U.S. consumer is still very strong, manufacturing, business investment, which is really the foundation of future growth, is starting to weaken. So while the consumer is still strong now, what they're seeing are signs that could lead to risks down the line. And for that reason, they're lowering rates. So I don't think it's got anything to do with Trump. But I mean, on the face of it, there's still, the U.S. economy is still in reasonable shape. So I think from that point of view, he's just trying to preempt what might arise down the line. As one governor said, it's a second insurance policy. They took the first insurance policy out a few months ago, and this is the second one. So I think he was forced in. I don't think Trump has got anything to do with this. I think that they're just acting cautiously. So look, the market initially was uncertain because they interpreted it as hawkish because of all those different views. But as Lindsay, I'm looking now, we're less than a percent away from the all-time high on the S&P. You know, we're 3020. And I think 3025 is where the S&P was at the end of August. So markets exactly seem to be okay.
Okay, let's have a look at those spot prices and have a look at the rand, which is $14.69. Dollar rand is $14.69, virtually unmoved on the interest rate, a flatliner from Lesecha Konyago and his mob. British pound is 18.33. Euro rand is 16.23, and the euro dollar is 110.55. Let's have a look now down at the commodities prices. Gold is up $4.50 in the last 24 hours to $14.98. Platinum is up 9 to $9.41. And palladium is down, I think, unless my screen is wrong, down 11 at $15.95. The oil price, interesting, it's up 1.4% to $64.81. And David, as I was saying to Nick earlier on, we don't think that this chapter of the oil conflict book that has been written this week is the last chapter. There could be some more to come.
I don't know. It depends on what they're going to do with Iran. I don't know where this is all heading. But the markets seem to be stable. There doesn't seem to be any concerns about future supply. I think you need some wholesale war or someone to really start pulling triggers or pressing buttons to get it going. But everyone seems to be quite, what were the words, sanguine about how this is all going to go out. Sanguine is not quite the right word, but they don't seem to be perturbed. They don't seem to be really highly strung about where this is going to go. And you can see it in the markets.
Yeah, if I can throw in the VIX at this point, I mean, the volatility index sitting at 13.44%, that's almost on the low of the year. And bearing in mind, we are one day away from quadruple witching, which is notoriously volatile period on the US markets. And we've just had obviously a whole batch of central banks as well. So for the VIX to be sitting at multi-year lows, implying zero risk, is I mean, that just sums up what David's saying. The market is not pricing in anything.
Dow Jones is currently up around about 70 points or a quarter of a percent. S&P up a third of a percent. The Nasdaq is a 0.6% winner. All the European markets doing well. The FTSE, the DAX, the CAC 40. The Far East this morning was pretty good. There's nothing going on there, really. Well, it's lots going on there. It's just grinding its way higher. I'm getting bored with this grinding its way higher motif.
Yeah,
the market needs a bit of an enema just to get some interest in the market, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's a pretty boring sitting through the day here. There's nothing. You can't really get a grip on anything. You can't get your teeth in anything. You don't really want to sell and you don't want to buy. So you're in kind of no man's land. You know, even though, as I mentioned, that the S&P now grinding towards an all-time high area. But we're looking beyond that. Okay, we're at an all-time high. What's the next move? Is it going to be another 3%, 4%, 5% up, or is it going to go 5% down, or are we just going to chug along? And I just get the feeling we're chugging along. So anyway, you know, you always say the salubrious, what do you call it, of Melrose Arch?
Salubrious, yes. It means, you know, pretty fancy, I think.
Well, that's the beauty of being here, is that every now and again, like every hour, it's, oh, go on, get out of here, go walk past all the restaurants, stop in for a coffee at Paul's or a pizza at, Tiger's Milk or something like that.
The life of the deputy chairman.
But you know what we've got now to distract us? We've
got how I spend my time in the hot. Yeah. Really hot,
well, I'm glad you're not a stockbroker, David. You should be slaving over your keyboard for me.
You know, Nick, I look here all the time. I keep saying, okay, you know, let's get into this for Dusak. Just can't get excited.
You know, I used to work with an old, really good trainer. He used to say to me, Nick, there's a time to go long, a time to go short, and a time to do F4. And I think that's the time to probably stick your hands right now.
Well, we have got the Rugby World Cup to distract us. I mean, I'm not a huge rugby fan, but the opening game, of course, for South Africa is against the All Blacks, which is going to be fantastic. And I would imagine that quite a few people who've made a bit of money will be in Japan going to see this extraordinary event. Do you know anyone in the financial services industry, either of you, that are going over to Japan?
Yeah, we're sending over, I think it's about five of the big hitters in SBW, Sunland Private Wealth, are going over. I think that hit certain targets, and I think they did. Mm. So they're sort of heading over there for, I think they're going for...
Obviously, not, you're not one of them.
No, I'm slaving over my keyboard or joining David for a coffee at Morris Arch.
Okay, let's have a look at the most viewed shares on the sharenet.co.za front page today. Steinhoff, of course, Blue Label Telecoms up 4.5% at 277, Sabania up 0.4%, and Sasol down again, down 0.7%. Nick, let's have a look at the top five major movers to the upside. Prosus, nice move from Prosus, up 2.25%. Remgro, before the results came out, just after the market closed, up 2.1%. Mass is 1.5% higher, the property company. Mr. Price up 1.4%, and Quilter up 1.25%. Anything there, gentlemen, that caught your eye apart from Prosus?
Well, what about throwing in the volume today? Decent day.
Yeah. Well, it's a futures closeout. Yeah. 56 billion. Mm, 57 billion there. Yeah.
That's huge.
And it hardly made any difference. I think when the futures close out, I think is a 2-hour window. I don't trade in. I just watch
15 minutes actually these days.
Is it?
Yeah, 12 to 12:15.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay, there you are. But I think during that time there was a little bit of a downdrift, and then we managed to push up from that. So it didn't seem to have any major impact on the underlying stocks today.
Okay,
on the tomorrow, just so I can throw into the mix there. So tomorrow could be quite interesting too, because there's a lot of reweighting that has to happen with Prosus and Naspers with the index trackers.
Okay.
And I've seen some extraordinary numbers that have to go through tomorrow. I mean, just to give you some idea, so Prosus free float from 97 to reduced to 10% in one of the indexes. We've got the top 40 reweighting. So we've got Impala coming in and into the top 40 back again. Welcome back. And we've got Sabania coming in as well. Then we've got Aspen, PSG, and SAP going out. That's in the Swix 40. We've got coming in. We've got Goldfields, Impala, Sabania, and Aspen coming in. I could go on. There's quite a few from our guys.
Oh, that's very important.
And there are some big numbers here, David. I mean, we're talking 10-15% reweightings. So tomorrow could be quite fun and games.
I wonder if it had to do with today. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, maybe some people getting ahead before. Instead of trying to rush into the auction tomorrow before the long weekend, maybe some guys trying to get through some today.
Very interesting. Interesting. Yes, tomorrow could be quite fun. On the downside today, it wasn't particularly fun for Sappi, because that was down 7.6%. Assor nearly 6% weaker. Kumba Iron Ore, again, a Rand or an iron ore play, or both of those two asset classes. Kumba Iron Ore down 5.1%. Life Healthcare 4.5% weaker. And Cap down 4%. Any stories there? What's the Sappi story?
Sappi was, I would say, the stock of 2018 or the stock of 2017. I can't remember. But subsequent to that, the share price has halved. You know, this was a long crawl upwards for Sappi, from about 23 Rand to 100-odd Rand, getting the debt out the way and restructuring the business. And all of that seems to have been given up. And, I haven't watched since those highs, but each day I've been watching it fall back.
Well, that's one on the list that's been booted. Eh? That's out the top 40 tomorrow. Yeah. So, and it's used to, and it was quite a big rating for some people. And it's also quite a big rating in what was in the Swix 40.
I saw Nampak as well, down 8%. So I don't know whether Sappi and Nampak both related to the packaging industry
And Nick, give us the closing JSE indices and that final volume, if you would, please.
Okay, so final volume is just what David was saying, was 57 billion value traded. And I must say, also looking at the indexes, all share was down a lot more on the open. It's come back quite a bit, just to close slightly down 96 points on the all share to close at a level of 56,123. And the top 40 also down 56 points, down 0.11%. Energy were the biggest moves on the upside, 0.8. Financials up 0.8. And on the downside, basic materials down 0.3. And health healthcare was the biggest dropper on the day. That index down 1.51%.
David, your story of the day or your shock of the day, please.
I think that has to be the iron ore price. Mm. You know, we saw the iron ore price down about 3%. So iron ore, it depends where you read it. I read, I don't know how to describe this one, CB, 62%. And that's down at 88. And its high was 120 odd. And what we're starting to see is the iron ore price come under quite a bit of pressure as more seaborne supply comes on stream. So watch this one very carefully. It's trying to bounce back, but iron ore seems to be under quite a bit of pressure. And that's why this is the one I look at, iron ore 62% CRB, whatever it is. And that one's come back quite a lot, and that, of course, took SOR and Kumba down.
Okay.
Significant. That's why we saw the markdown today.
Gentlemen, thanks very much for all that. I'm just going to give you my quote of the day, and it continues my theme of one of my all-time heroes, Clint Eastwood. And I was thinking of the Intellidex Stockbroker of the Year Awards tonight. Are either of you two involved in that? I think I'm right in saying...
I can't believe I forgot lost my email. That's ridiculous.
Anyway, I thought of one. Clint Eastwood came out with a brilliant quote from one of his films, or one of his books, I think it was actually. And I thought about stockbrokers, and the quote is as follows: "If you want a guarantee, buy a toaster."
Is the so five cool. after all the free time we give you, Lindsay.
That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick Kunzer is from Sandland Private Wealth. He's not one of the big five big hitters. He's not at the Intellidex Stockbroker of the Year Awards either. And David Shapiro, you won't find him there either. You'll find him having pizzas somewhere in Melrose Arch. 5 o'clock shadow will be back tomorrow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.